Blog Talk Radio.
Mode 1.
I want to rock with you.
You are now listening to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
The following internet radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
Creating that initial romantic and or erotic spark for many men and women is not that hard if there is a basic sense of physical chemistry present. But what about 3 years into the relationship, 5 years into the relationship, 10 years into the relationship, 15 or 20 years into the relationship? How can you consistently keep your sexual chemistry with your significant other at its highest level over a long period of time? At least one book author and sexologist says that you need to throw away all of your conservative and prudish attitudes to the side and allow yourself to be creative, totally uninhibited, or at minimum, just a little bit kinky. She argues that this is the formula for keeping that erotic fire stoked year after year in a long-term relationship. Who is this woman that believes that romance is the rocket fuel of sensational sex and that an open, free-spirited attitude is what causes and creates opportunities for dynamic, satisfying sex between two long-term partners? Her name is Dr. Natasha Janina Valdez, and tonight, Dr. Natasha is not going to mince words at all while offering advice to my male and female listeners as she takes time out of her very busy schedule to get up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Is this Alan Roger Curry of Mode 1 fame? Oh my God.
You're really good at this.
I gotta ask you, do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and bury someone in a race? You do?
I think they do. I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how did you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy, and I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect a woman. Never disrespect your woman, but the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, yo! Mode 1! This is Gerard McClendon from Chicago Tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Alan Roger Curry. Mode 1, let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Alan Roger Curry.
Dreaming your way, wishing that fear was so truly free. I die watching the days. Did you see I'm a fool?
and gentlemen, to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. We're on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and I'm your host, Alan Roger Curry. And today is Thursday, January 20th, and tonight's episode is going to be centered for the couples. Now, you know, a lot of my shows are geared towards dating singles. They're my number one priority. Dating singles are my number one priority. But as you know, I do quite a few shows for married couples and, you know, just couples that are into each other. And one of the questions you'll see frequently on the internet is, you know, one of those ask so-and-so. They'll say, "Dear so-and-so, I've been in this relationship for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and our sex has grown kind of stale. How do we rejuvenate the sexual sparks in a relationship?" And the guest I have on this evening, that is her focus. Her focus is helping couples create and maintain a high degree of erotic chemistry that won't flame out. She suggests that you get at least a little bit kinky, a little bit kinky. So I look forward to this conversation, which will be coming up in just a few minutes. First, let me see who's in my chat room. What is it? Is it a snowstorm today? This chat room looking kind of light, but I got... She says she wants to be my number one most loyal listener. I always say she's my second most loyal listener, but she wants to be number one. That's Adrienne, and she's in the chat room, Diva362636. My younger cousin, Christopher Curry, Hype Styles in the chat room. Jay Infinite is in the chat room. James C. Jimmy is in the chat room. London Lesna is in the chat room. I'm sure a few other people are making their way in the chat room. Other shout-outs would be my brother and ace confidant, Stephen Curry. Stephen Curry, my cousin in Chicago, J.P. Jones. My other cousin in Maplewood, New Jersey, at the ball, Philip Pulliam. And his older brother, Irvin V. Pulliam III, EVP3, whose mom makes the Hall of Fame, Peach Cobbler, No Had, a.k.a. Metal Haze, Vanessa Turner, Edie Lee Harris, Don Calypso, Will Wavy, my colleague here on the Blog Talk Radio Network, just informed me yesterday that he's calling it quits after 4 years on the network. He's going to be giving up his show. So I think a lot of his listeners, as well as quite a few of his colleagues, are going to be sad to see him go. He was actually one of the first, if not the first, dating and relationship show on the Blog Talk Radio Network that was hosted by an African American. I'm not 100% sure of that. I have to double check, but I want to say he had the first show on the Blog Talk Radio Network that was hosted by an African American that dealt with dating and relationships. Yeah, he's been on Blog Talk Radio, I want to say, since like January or February of 2007. But he said he's giving it up to concentrate on some new and different interests. So I wish him well. NFL playoffs. Man, y'all know y'all love that upset. The Jets. That's right. The Jets beat the Patriots, as you know. And this is with all due respect to my friends, acquaintances in Boston. I just hate the Patriots. Nothing personal. As people. Tom Brady, he's all right with me, but I just do not, on a purely sports level, I do not like the New England Patriots. So I was glad they lost. The New York Jets talked smack and backed it up. My Bears won. They beat Seattle, that's right. So they'll be playing Green Bay on Sunday. The Jets will be playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. I want it to be a Chicago Bears, New York Jets Super Bowl. I don't want to see Pittsburgh go Super Bowl again. They've been there enough times. You know? I mean, goodness gracious. How many times the Steelers need to be in the Super Bowl? That's like seeing Ohio State in another bowl game. I mean, don't you just get tired of seeing Ohio State in these bowl games? See, I'm jabbing at somebody who's a loyal listener. I'm tired of seeing Ohio State. We want to see teams like Indiana University in these bowl games, not Ohio State. But, yeah, but no, I think the Bears, I want to see them. Of course, that's my team. I love the Bears. And I think the play. NBA season is still going along well. Dirk Nowitzki's back in the NBA. Dallas beat the Lakers. I think this is going to be one of the best All-Star games ever. Like, ever. I think when it's said and done, I think this is going to be one of the best NBA All-Star games probably in the last 20 years, this year. That's my prediction. That's my prediction. I read where Halle Berry's boy toy said he's filing for joint custody and he wants support. Uh-huh. Take that. See, all the women always say they think that women are the only ones supposed to get financial support. Well, what most people don't know is that at the time you break up or whatever, if your spouse or a significant other is making more money than you, you can, you know, request support from them. And Halle makes more than her former boy toy. So, yeah, he wants to get paid and he wants joint custody. Man, I saw this movie that was hard to watch. It was great acting, but it was hard to watch because it was so real. It's called Blue Valentine with Ryan Gosling and Michelle Williams. Michelle Williams is Heath Ledger's former wife or girlfriend. And Ryan Gosling, I just love him as an actor. He was in a movie called Half Nelson, which I love. And, man, I tell you, that movie, woo, watch at your own risk. I mean, on one end, it's very, very good. I mean, it's so real, you feel like you're peeking in on somebody's life. But, man, it's just, it's about relationships. So it's right up the alley of this show. You just got to see it. I don't want to tell too much because I don't want to give any spoilers. But, man, that movie, woo. Oh, man. I'll leave it at this. For anybody who thinks relationships and marriage is just about the warm and fuzzies, you need to wake up. It's more than that. It's more than the warm and fuzzies. And if there's ever been a movie that points that out, it's this movie, Blue Valentine. Blue Valentine is a deep, deep, deep movie. Welcome to my chat room, Aaron 2213, Black Man 37. I'll be right back after this intermission break, and we're going to get this conversation started. So don't go anywhere. I will be right back as soon as I can find my intermission break. Here we go.
Hey, I'm Dangerously. And you may have read my short story, Till Death Do Us Part, in the New York Times bestselling anthology, Succulent, Chocolate Flavor 2, presented by Zane. Well, things get even hotter between the pages of Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down. Check it out at PantiesUpSkirtDown.com. And remember, keep it dangerous.
Mode 1.
You're about to enter into the erotic zone with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, the king of verbal seduction. This is the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Diana DeVoe, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Layla Odom, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Bella.
And this is Charlie.
And we're dancers from the legendary Score Strip Club in New York City. And you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Alexandra Kanahakis, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
So I'm getting treated for my sex appeal.
Episodes of The Erotic Conversationalist are available as a downloadable MP3 file from www.mode1.net. All right, I'm going to go with my next caller, area code 310-310. You are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your question or comment?
I used to date lots of women, both in high school and in college and in medical school, and people used to always ask me, you're not the best looking guy, you're not the richest guy out there, how are you getting all these women? And essentially, the answer is actually quite simple. It's essentially having the confidence and knowing what you want to do.
Oh, thank you, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, sir, Master Allen.
I like that.
Hey, buddy, thank you so much for having me. That is easily the nicest introduction that I've ever had.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. We now return to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Welcome back. Welcome back to another edition of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. I see this Lady Goodwrench has joined us in the chat room. Lady Goodwrench, welcome to you. My guest for the evening, she actually started as an artist. See, she had that creative spirit, and she ended up graduating from the University of Texas at Austin with a BA in studio art. Then she moved to New York and worked for a guy named Peter Max. Then she moved to Los Angeles. She's just been all over the place. That's what I'm talking about, experience in life. But it just so happened she met a sex doctor doing radio and TV, and she thought to herself, wow, this is what I want to do. See, me and her are alike, because as soon as I discovered my passionate interest about fucking, I said, I got to do something related to sex, but I don't have my doctorate yet. But this woman does have her doctorate. That's right. She has a Doctor of Education in Human Sexuality from the Institute for Advanced Study of Human Sexuality. She's had her own syndicated Clear Channel sex show. She's been on Howard Stern. She's been in various magazines, different radio shows, TV shows. She now lives in Austin, Texas, and she's just helping people get their freak on, particularly couples. She's helping them have more sexual satisfaction. That's what it's all about. See, all wars would be diminished if everybody was just in the bedroom fucking. There wouldn't be no violence, none of that. There wouldn't be all this crime if people were exchanging orgasms. So on behalf of Upfront and Straightforward and the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network, listeners, give it up for Dr. Natasha Janina Valdez. What
man,
is
you are
up,
good
Dr.
at that.
Natasha?
You are good at those intros. Well, a lot, and yeah, that's what I do. That's my specialty. And I was inspired though, because my first marriage just completely sucked. It didn't work. We stopped having sex right away. And it was like within the first 6 months, it was just all downhill. And so much time had gone by, and we were already on our way to divorce. And
But I got to stop you, Dr. Natasha.
Yep.
Got to stop
you. And I was only 23, by the way.
What'd you say?
I was only 23 at the time. I wasn't going to live without sex.
I don't want to put too much emphasis on looks, but I've seen your photos. Now, you're an attractive woman. I can't believe any guy in a relationship with you wouldn't want to just, you know, exchange orgasms with you every night. But you're saying...
It's not about looks. It's okay. Not about having a great sex life has nothing to do with how you look. I mean, you can take the hottest chick in the world and the hottest guy on the planet, and it doesn't matter. There's somebody out there that will, if you don't have the right tools, communication, and otherwise, that your partner will get sick of you and move on, or vice versa. So the whole trick is not to get sick of each other and to grow together and have lots of fun together. And you do that through communicating. And the biggest thing is taking that ego and putting it in another room a lot, almost all the time when it comes to discussing sex issues and a lot of issues. Because ego gets in the way of great sex life. Ego gets in the way of great communication. But so seriously, when I was only 23 years old, and so imagine, I was thinking, why isn't my husband attracted to me? What is going on? And he always said, he was like, oh, it's kind of like, well, after I married you and I just kind of thought, you know, now you're my wife. And he just never really had a good explanation for it. And then, so I was so depressed and I was so sad. And so I was like, well, this isn't going to work. You know, I'm not going to live like this. And so we got a divorce. And during that divorce time, I happened to do a voiceover for this sex doctor. And I thought, that's what I want to do. I want to become a sex therapist because I never want to feel and experience pain like this ever again. It was such a painful experience, not being wanted, not, you know, having your self-esteem go to zero. And this happens to men, too. It's not just a female thing. There's lots of people who get into relationships and one partner just quits on them. They just give up, or for some reason they just don't want to be sexual anymore. Or the honeymoon phase is over and people do not know what to do when it ends, because it ends. Your brain produces a chemical in the first 6 months. By the time you very first start to have sex, for the next 6 or so months, your brain produces a chemical that keeps you, they call it a love chemical, and it keeps you wanting to be together. It keeps you bonded, and it keeps you
sexual. Is that oxytocin?
Sexual. It's a chemical mix, and it's phenylethylamine. Is one of the words, one of the chemical names for it. But it's oxytocin. You can get rushes of oxytocin just from having an orgasm. So it's more, it's a bigger chemical mix than that. Because what happens, though, is after, say, you start having sex with your partner, then within around 6 months, this love chemical or love drug starts to wear off. And then, you know, maybe you marry that partner. Maybe you start dating or move in together and you marry that partner. And then you don't really notice it. Things are still going great a year later. Somewhere around 2 years, 3 years, people start to have problems or they start saying, this is what people come into my office and they'll be like, okay. And not everybody has sex every day, but I'm taking an extreme case. Say some couples start off having sex like all the time, you know, mm-hmm. almost every day or 5 times a week, which is not, that's a lot, I will tell you. So they start doing it, they go from that to 3 times a week, to 2 times a week, to maybe they have a kid and now it's maybe they didn't after the kid, that by the time they got back on track, it's like once a week, maybe once a month. So see where I'm going here? Imagine how disconnected you can become if you can't talk about sex, if no one's ever taught you how to talk about sex or taught you how to communicate with your partner, your needs, your wants, your desires, what's going on with you. There's so many issues that cannot be ignored and that you have to feel comfortable talking to your partner about, that your relationship will not make it if just by chance. Doesn't happen. I mean, it just doesn't happen. I mean, what do you think? Are you in a relationship?
No, I was the latter half of 2009 and the first half of 2010. Now I'm a bachelor again.
You're a bachelor again. Well, in my book, too, my book is for couples. It doesn't matter if they're married or not. It's for couples who want to bring back some spice, or it's for people who are dating and they're already being intimate. And it starts off And don't be afraid of the kinky part, because it gets really wild toward the end, but the first three quarters of the book is totally some things you want to do. It's the sex that you crave. It's the sex that you want from your partner, but you don't know how to ask for. So you can literally pull out the pages and go, honey, do this to me. And the first half is divided about, it's about 50-50. It's only like a couple hundred pages, and, you know, like it's, you know, 100 suggestions of scenarios of things that she does to him and then that he does to her. And we give you a play-by-play on ways to satisfy your partner and create memorable dates that lead to sex, create memorable sex experiences that lead to more sex and more quality sex. You know, and it depends what you want. Do you want quantity? Do you want quality? Do you want a little bit of both? The greatest sex lives are the ones that have variety, they have great communication, and they have consistency. And consistency does not mean you have to have it every day or even once a week. That number, the number that is satisfied is whatever, every couple has a number. You know, like for instance, my husband and I, we're about happiest when we have sex a couple times a week. Can we always do that with the kid and our job? Not always, but that's what we try for. That's our goal. So it's good. It is good to have goals, and it is good to have reminders and to have dates and things that and to have a great attitude about it. Especially when things start feeling, when you start feeling like you're like, where's my sex life? Where's it gone? We went from every day to once a month. What's going on? So you've got to be able to communicate about these issues, or your relationship is just absolutely, it's just not going to work out.
Now,
what do you think?
Can a couple coexist if one of the two has these very inhibited, kind of conservative, prudish attitudes towards sex?
Yeah, they can. In a perfect scenario, it would be to take that couple. That couple comes into my office. One's a little bit more inhibited, you know. One's a little bit wilder. So what I would try to do is try to put them. So, and I give them all kinds of exercises to have them meet in the middle on some common ground. If I can get them to that common ground and they're on that same, they can share a wavelength, then they're good. They're good to go. And sometimes it's just reframing an idea. Like, say some guy likes, like what's something kinky that you want to try and you know that she's going to think, oh, or have you ever dated a girl who's like, oh, no, I don't want to do that. Maybe it's even just doggy style. Some women don't like doggy style because they're like, they think it's demeaning or it's not very, it's kind of a, you know, one of the colder positions.
How can a woman not like doggy style?
Some women don't. I counseled a couple where the woman, she used to love doggy style, and then she began to hate it, and that was her husband's favorite position. And she's like, I'm not doing it anymore. And that landed them, that statement landed them into my office for therapy. So basically she thought it was demeaning, and she thought it had become demeaning. And she felt disconnected, and she felt it was so animalistic that she could be anybody. She felt that her husband was just fucking anybody, you know? And so
she felt like her husband was
Was just having sex with some anonymous person.
You know, I was
person.
Trying to get you to say fucking again.
Just say it again. You said it, and it's the internet show, so I that's the first time I've ever said it on a show. So you're my fucking word virgin show. You popped my cherry. You popped my cherry. So but seriously, what we had to do is we took that position and we redid it. We reframed it. We made it romantic again. He was supposed to say her name, and while he was doing her in doggy style, he was supposed to caress her back and kiss her back and like really turn her head and make out with her a little bit and kiss her and touch her and say her name and say, you know, express himself like, oh my God, you're so hot or you're so beautiful. This feels so good. And that's all it was. It brought them back. You know, it reconnected them. So sometimes it just takes some tweaking. And it takes like I'll analyze his communication style and her communication style, and they are always different. I've never had two people come into my office with the very same type of communication style. So I have them get them to understand each other and meet in the middle so that they can grow, so they can find that common wavelength and learn how to you know, go forward on that common wavelength. Does that make sense?
Yeah, oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Now, I don't know if you heard me
talking about this movie I saw. It's a really good movie called Blue Valentine.
I've never seen. Well, it's just out now, right?
Yeah, it just came out in like mid to late December. It's a limited release. And I'm sure the two leads are going to get, at least I think they probably get Oscar nominations. But this movie, I have at least one question related to this movie, because if you listen to my listeners, I'm going to warn you, this could be a potential spoiler, so just close your ears if you don't want me to spoil the movie for you. But the movie deals with this married couple, and it kind of deals with two periods of times in their life. You can say about 40% of the movie deals with when they first met each other. And, of course, they're, like, high on each other, totally in love, you know, can't keep their hands off each other. But then the other 60% of the movie deals with the last few months when their marriage is falling apart. And in the latter parts, it gets to the point where she doesn't even want him fucking her. And I guess my question to you would be, name 3 to 5 factors that cause a woman to get to a point where she don't even want her husband or significant other to even fuck her anymore. It's just, she just don't even almost want him touching her anymore.
Okay, well, there's a couple things. I mean, there's a lot of things, actually. But the first one is people change, and not always for the good. Like, when you first get together with somebody, you're on your best behavior. She's on her best behavior. You're on your best behavior, and you're usually presenting the self that you want them to see and think is great. And she's actually doing that too. And this goes on for a little while, and actually the true self doesn't really come out until after you live together, and maybe, you know, you see each other, you see her without makeup, you see her in as many situations as possible, stressed, worried, maybe after you have a kid and in all those things, and vice versa. Yeah. And then, so when you first list somebody, it's almost like you're trying to get them. You're trying to be a certain way to lure them in and have them, you know, so they love you and you love them and blah, blah, blah. And then that all happens, and then reality sets in, and then that real person shows up, and it's kind of like, who are you? You know, and then that person stops maybe opening the door or being as romantic because they think they don't have to anymore. And they stop being the person that they used to be when you first met. And this goes for both. It's not just men. Women do it too. And so it's like, you know, a couple years later, and it usually happens within a couple years later where it's like, who are you or what's going on? And so really the best thing is for that couple for you to always be true to yourself and be as true as you can to your real self and be as revealing of that, but people just don't do that. And, you know, as revealing of that in the beginning and all the way through. So, you would hope that someone would maintain their manners or their romantic antics all the way through, but a lot of times people don't. And sometimes they stop, though, because of comments. Like, say a guy opens a door on a date and he does it all the time, and one day she gets drunk and she's like, why do you open my stupid door anyway? And then he never opens the door again. And that's just one example of just the chipping away and the eroding that can happen when we get sensitive and wrought up in a relationship. Now, the reverse can happen, too. Like, the love can increase and increase. And I believe there's stages of love and eroticism. And, you know, you've got that falling in love stage. And then you've got, that highly charged sex stage. And then you've got more of a realistic love and realistic sex.
Okay, now pause planned. There. I want you to describe that. What does more realistic sex mean?
And that usually happens a little bit later, maybe like you're in your 40s and you've you're more realistic about things. You know, maybe you're usually people in their 40s that see you're both working and you're just more realistic about things. You're more intellectual about things. You have a little bit more wisdom, so you're not maybe as demanding. And you're more realistic to the situation, what's going on. And maybe instead of doing it every single day, you talk about things and you discuss things. And so it's a more realistic type of relationship. And you might even have a divorce under your belt and many relationships under your belt, or at least a couple, so you have some experience with relationships. So you tend to be more realistic, you know, in your 40s and in this realistic love stage. And then you have the mature love. mature love is not just older people, but it can be a mature, you could be 23 and be married for 10 years, and 30, you could be 33, but that you're, by 10 years, you're in a mature love state, which means that, you know, it's you love this person for 10 years, and now it's mature love, which is, there's, if it's a good marriage, there's still a lot of respect there and kindness and love. You know, if you ever want to know if you're doing something wrong, just ask yourself a couple questions. You know, is this a kind way to treat my partner? Is this a loving way to treat my partner? And if the answer is no, then don't fucking do it. You know? I mean, you gotta have your own system of checks and balances. And, you know, and we're, you know, as a society, it's like we kind of live in a fast food society. It's like next, 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 if it doesn't work out. But it's actually really damaging to it can be very damaging to have a lot of partners and to go from relationship to relationship to relationship. It is better to hang on to something good and learn to work through it and work with it. And you know, they say that arranged marriages fare out better than just, you know, spontaneous ones, or, you know, ones where it's like, I love you, you love me, we met, let's get married. And it's because you learn to love instead of you love and then fall out of love. So if we could learn, if you just hold on to this concept and just think of, you know, I'm going to learn to love this partner for the rest of my life. I'm going to, whatever it takes, whatever we go, they're going to learn to love them. And you know, getting back to your question, what would make her not want to have sex with them anymore? Okay, so it's people change, like the way they treat each other. So don't change. Don't steer too far from who you were when you first met. Then there could be financial problems. You know, that could be, you know, it could be on both sides, or just the couple in general, they're having finances. Stress kills the sex life. The lack of finances, which creates stress, kills the sex life. Kids sometimes, it's not the kids that kill the sex life, it's the way that you react towards these new little beings coming into your life, or being coming into your life. And so that can kill a sex life. So it's how you deal with new stressors that come into your life. And then, you know, later on in life, it can be issues like menopause or you guys have a pill like Viagra. I know a lot of women who are like, where's my sex drive? I'm in my 50s, and where's my, you know, where'd it go? I want that pill. You know, if I had a pill that I could take, I would take it. So it could be just the hormones readjusting. But there's a lot of reasons.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you know, I think the whole thing too is think of yourself that you're in the danger zone when you when as a couple you're not having as much sex, but you miss the connection, you need the connection, and you want the connection, and a month goes by and you're not connecting when you used to have sex, like, you know, a pretty decent amount of time, which say it's just like once a week even. Say that's all you ever have. And that's fine. If once a week is all you ever have for the rest of your life, that's awesome. That's an awesome sex life. It might not be enough for some, and it might be too much for others. But it's the amount is what makes that couple happy. So if you're not happy with the amount of sex in your life and you let that go on too long, well, your relationship will suffer. Will you get divorced? I mean, some people get divorced because of sex life sucks. And some people stay and just live in a sexless marriage.
But, wow, I mean, that's got to be horrible. Have you had clients that were in, like, a sexless marriage?
Yeah, and they're not very happy, and they look older than they should, and they look very stressed out, and some of them cheat and don't tell, and some of them, a lot of them end up getting divorced anyway. And these are ones that don't have, like, special needs issues or anything like that. I'm talking about a regular healthy couple. So I definitely have had that. But usually they end up getting divorced if they're younger, meaning, like, if they're in, like, 20s, 30s, 40s. If they're older, they might just stay together out of habit.
Okay. No. Now, why is romance the rocket fuel of sensational sex?
It's because that's where it all begins. You got to have that fuel to go somewhere. So if you don't have any fuel, you're not going to go anywhere. You're just going to stall out. And you know, as cliche and as stupid some people think romance is, there's a reason that it's a multi-billion-dollar business, because it fucking works. I mean, it really, really works. So all I can say really is just try it. Just do it. That's why I always say, you know, leave your ego out. Or, you know, have you ever met someone who's like, don't just do stupid. I don't want to be told when to buy my girlfriend a card. Those are the worst. So people who think like that are the worst, because it's kind of like, yeah, just forget it. It's not about that. It's just about showing, during Valentine's Day, it's just about showing the person that you care and that, you know, you want to show them that you love them and that you care about them. And yeah, okay, so it's a Hallmark thing, but so what? Get over it. Romance works, or we wouldn't write, authors like me wouldn't write about it. Romance gets you laid. Romance is foreplay. Foreplay can lead to orgasm. A lot of times, you know, there's mental. Romance is mental foreplay, and without that, a lot of women don't have orgasms. So the first. I don't know if I haven't sent you a copy of A Little Bit Kinky, then I'm going to, because the first part is all about. The first like chapter is about you know, romance, but really memorable romance. And, you know, we have, like, for instance, one of the scenarios is, say you go to a restaurant, and this is like when you're already, you know, this is pretty racy, you're already kind of being intimate, and you decide you want to order some erotic foods and things that you can feed each other, and so you're having, you know, the goal for this date is to just be erotic and use your fingers and to feed each other, and maybe in other ways, too. And so one of her assignments would be to get up from the table, go to the bathroom and take off her underwear, and then when she comes back to give it to you, you know, slide it under the napkin and push it towards your way. And so it works both ways. And that's also, I mean, she can be romantic toward you, but that's also a little bit kinky. But it's a memory. You know, it's a memory that'll lodge in there as like, ooh, that's sexy and wow, and that's different and freaky and cool and hot. And so that's how you want to get your brain thinking as much as possible if you want to bring back that sex life, or if you just want to have a sex life. It helps to think in a flirtatious way. So if a woman wants to be more romantic, she can twist that into being more flirtatious. And if a man needs help in the romance department, well, there's millions of books. It's not just my book that's out there that's awesome. There's millions of books that will help you to learn how to be romantic and what romantic means. A lot of women complain these days that their favorite foreplay was making out, and that now they're married or in a relationship and they never kiss anymore. Or he only touches me when he wants sex. By the way, that's another turnoff for women, is when the guy only touches the woman when he wants sex, instead of regularly, like during the day, a hug or a kiss or holding hands. It is so annoying, and eventually over time, she will pull away if you are one of those guys that only touches her when she wants sex, because she feels like a sex toy and not a lover.
Interesting.
Are you writing down?
Well, I'm gonna wait for you. You said you're gonna send me a complimentary copy of this book, so I'm gonna wait for it. I'm gonna give you my address after the show's over, and I want to read this thoroughly. Listeners, if you have a question or comment for my guest for the evening, Dr. Natasha, you can call in at 646-478-5710. Again, that's 646-478-5710. I'm about to take my first intermission break. Now, before I do, I'm gonna have Dr. Natasha. I got indoctrinated to my show. Now, I don't know if you know Dr. Natasha. I have my own book out. Well, actually, I have two, but my main one is called Mode One: Let the Women Know What You're Really Thinking. And what I usually do with guests, particularly the female guests, is I have them say Mode One. And I want you in your sexiest voice. I'm going to give you a 3, 2, 1. I want you to say Mode One. So 3, 2, 1.
Mode One.
Mode One.
Alan Roger Curry.
You're up front, straightforward.
Alan Roger Curry.
I will return in about roughly 3 minutes. I'm going to let Dr. Natasha get a swig of water. Again, if you want to call in, 646-478-5710, press the number 1, and I know you want to speak. I'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Dangerous Lee, and you may have read my short story, Till Death Do Us Part, in the New York Times best-selling anthology, Succulent, Chocolate Flavored Soup, presented by Zane. Well, things get even hotter between the pages of Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down. Check it out at PantiesUpSkirtDown.com. And remember, keep it dangerous.
What's up, folks? This is Alan Roger Curry of Upfront and Straightforward and Mode 1 fame. And if you're a music lover, I urge you to listen to Madison Media Radio. It's not just music, but it is music with a purpose. Right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Mode 1.
Do you think that guys, to one degree or another, have to play the role of the bad boy to attract women, or they just need to remain who they are and just, you know, be patient?
No, they need to combine their game. They need to go in with an attitude that I'm going to be a gentleman, but I'm also letting you know that I'm attracted to you. You know, I want to kiss you. I want to hold you. I want to, you know, I want to take you out. I want to date you. You know, if you think I want to get in your pants, you're probably right. But at the same time, I like you. I like you. I want to see you.
You know, there's more single women than married women in the United States.
Oh, really? I didn't
know
that.
It's over 51%. Yeah.
There's more what?
Okay.
There's more single women than married women in the United States right now. First time ever in history.
Mindsets is correct. Somewhere there's a woman that's balanced, that's God-focused, that, you know, she gives because she wants to give, not because she's trying to hook somebody with her giving, but she values herself. She recognizes her good qualities, acknowledges her bad qualities, and this is the person that's balanced and ready to be in a healthy relationship.
Just so the listeners know, there's a letter in my first book, Letters to a Young Brother, Manifest Your Destiny. It's called Finding Your Swagger. In fact, it's so funny. I just got a letter from a young brother that he read my book, and it's changed his life. And he also put it in, he said, and you know what? I found my swagger, and now all the girls like me like you said they would. I was so tickled by that, yeah.
Oh, man, you got to love it.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Now return to my interview with book author
author and clinical sexologist, Dr. Natasha Janina Valdez, on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network. To the second hour of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. I see some people came in the chat room. Metal Hayes, what's up? No head, Metal Hayes. That's my main man. Self-guided, not other people guided, not misguided, but he is self-guided. Self-guided is in my chat room. I got Unique Janelle in my chat room. Unique Janelle is in my chat room, along with about three or four guests in my chat room. Welcome to my chat room. I'm having the most interesting conversation about couples creating and maintaining their erotic spice. My guest is a highly credentialed guest by the name of Dr. Natasha Janina Valdez. That just flows out your mouth, don't it? Dr. Natasha Janina Valdez. I like them three names, you know, Alan Roger Curry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Flowing is good.
Oh, I like the way you said that again.
Flowing is good. No, and, you know, and my book, it's really racy. Seriously, there are so many great ways to do it that, you know, if you're like, just to have sex. If you're one of those people that's stuck in a rut,
PG-13. Say there's so many ways for
fuck. There's so many ways to fuck. There's so many ways. And the funny thing is, like, people complain. I'm like, well, what do you do now? Oh, missionary. And I'm like, that's it? And it's like, you know what? Fine. You don't have a brain. You can't think. That's why I'm a sexologist. I do the thinking for you. In my book, I have over 200 ways of fucking, of getting down, of having great sex. I mean, I that's what I wrote it for. I wrote it so you don't have to think. So you literally, I do the thinking for you. I think of all the scenarios, and that way you just read and do and orgasm. Read and do and orgasm, and it gets better and more orgasmic and more fun. And that's the goal. That is the goal, to have as much fun as you can in bed and with sex and with your partner. That sounds good?
And sounds very good.
And my book should be everywhere, but it's just easier to go on Amazon.com. It's not even expensive. It's like for the price of two lattes, you probably get at Starbucks, you know, $8-$9 on Amazon. And I mean, seriously, this is a nugget. This is lots of pearls of wisdom and great sex techniques and scenarios in here that will just say, well, they'll take you from boring to just four-star lovemaker and the best lover your partner ever had, whether you're a male or female. I mean, the best. The kind where they'll tell their friends, like, oh, my God, he did this thing to me last night called a figure eight and a sandwich, and, oh, my God, it was the best. You know, and we name them funny things in the sandwich.
In the sandwich.
It's an oral sex technique, and mm-hmm. it's something you do with your tongue. And you trace figure eights around the vulva area, her vulva area, and then you press the lips together and like a little sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
And then you lick up and down the sandwich, and we call it the figure eight in the sandwich. But it's this great sex technique that and believe me, I don't know any guy on the planet who knows how to do that. So it's something that a woman will be like, what's that? Like, what's he doing? This is what she's going to be thinking. What's he doing? Oh, my God. What? That feels great. This is what she's thinking while you're doing it. Oh my God. That was the best orgasm I ever had. What did he do? And that's the figure eight in the sandwich. And there's tons of those techniques in my book. And there's just so many ways to have fun in bed. And I think people only really do it a couple different ways. And then they complain that they're bored.
Interesting. I like
that. Isn't that a good one, though?
You just enlighten me, Dr. Natasha.
Doesn't that sound good? That well, for you, I mean, you'd probably like, you know, we have lots of obviously hand job techniques and blow job. I mean, I can get as graphic as I want, right?
Yeah, you can get as graphic as your heart desires.
We teach women how to master the penis. I mean, how to stroke it, the shaft, cup the balls. I mean, everything. We show a woman how to just finesse that penis. And if she doesn't have to be around to do it. I mean, this could be her first time with the guy, but when she reads this, she'll be able to touch him as if she's just a magician, you know? And then we show her how you show women how to give the ultimate blowjob, the ultimate blowjob. And it takes different factors into account. By the time we get to the end of the book, you'll know how to communicate. So what you'll do is, you know, say you're trying something and you ask your partner, do you like that? And you'll be able to accept it if he says, no, not really, but I like that other thing you were doing. You know, so a lot of people get hurt when people say anything, any no's in the bedroom or anything just kind of, it's just our egos are so tied into our sexual performance that we get so hurt so easily. And it's good practice to, since these ideas aren't coming from you, they're coming from me and they're coming from the book, that's why your ego shouldn't be in it. You know, it's kind of like, okay, well, I'm just reading how to do this. If that doesn't work, then I'll try the next thing. But we give a blow-by-blow, and we give a step-by-step on how to give the best oral sex to a man, and we take in so many different accounts.
So you teach women to suck dick.
Yeah, I teach women to suck dick, yeah.
Ooh, that's sick.
And you know, it's an art, don't you think?
Yeah, I very much think it's an art.
And here's the thing. When I was pregnant and I had a lot of morning sickness, mm-hmm. I didn't do it that much for my man because I felt sick all the time. So I didn't want it to be, you know, to barf on him or anything. Mm-hmm. So I realized that after I had my child that I was out of practice. Like, I literally had to go back and read my own book, check out some of the tips, and go back and try, you know, like almost like relearn what I thought was just there forever. I mean, I had to give myself a refresher course. And I'm being perfectly honest with you. I'm a sex therapist. I have been since I was, you know, in my late 20s. I'm 45 now, and you know, and sometimes I have to, like, slap myself in the face and go, man, you've got to do more oral to your man, and you've got to try more things. And, you know, I have to remind myself to get on the ball, so to speak.
Ah, that was cute.
I do. I mean, it's like I'm a normal human being. The difference between us and most people out there is that, like, we try not to let a week go by without having sex. And if it does, we laugh about it, but we have this 24-hour rule. Like, say I'm really dizzy and he accidentally comes on to me at the wrong time, or say I come on to him and I didn't know he didn't feel well or something, it just wasn't the right time. We'll both look at each other and go, okay, give me 24 hours. And then, so what it does is it gives us that time to prepare to just somehow, within that 24 hours, we're going to get in the mood, and I'm going to give you what you want. And it works. And if other people could incorporate that rule, there'd be a lot of happier couples out there, because you just step up and you satisfy your partner, even sometimes when you don't feel like it. You just find a way to get in that mood. So whether it's reading a lot of
books,
you got
to say that again to my listeners, because I think my female listeners really need to hear that. So say it again, please, Dr. Natasha.
You gotta find a way to get in the mood. And if that means that you have to read erotica or read a sex book or read lots of sex books or watch a porno, whatever that means to you, if you have to fantasize, sometimes people think that fantasizing is cheating. So I have a way around that, ladies. If you have a faceless person, you don't really lose your connection with your guy, you know. Or if you say you're making love to your guy, and you start imagining that you're both making love, and it's like you're really young, like you're both virgins, and you're like, oh, I don't know what to do, and oh my God, he's so young. And you just plug your man into the fantasy, is what I'm saying. Whether it's, you know, a young guy or an older guy or whatever, he's that guy. He's whatever your fantasy is. He's the guy that steps in. Put your face on that. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense, Dr. Natasha. I want to welcome Eco for Life in my chat room. Eco for Life in my chat room. Again, listeners, if you got a question or comment for Dr. Natasha, 646-478-5710, 646-478-5710. Now, let me ask you, do you think, and this is going to be totally, you know, subjective, but would you say a woman who plays with her pussy a lot is more erotic and sexier than a woman who's anti-masturbation?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, that is my opinion. But it's actually, but it's true, though. That's actually a proven fact. And this is why, because my next book is all about the female orgasm. And I don't know if I'm supposed to talk about it too much, but it's all about the female orgasm. So what I did was I studied women and what and I did a lot of research, and I have for like 20 years, and about the female orgasm. Women who masturbate or self-pleasure or whatever you want to call it, women who self-pleasure are more orgasmic and tend to want sex more than women who don't. So what does that tell you? That just answers your question right there. So women who don't, it doesn't mean that a woman who doesn't self-pleasure doesn't want sex, but just it tends to be that women who self-pleasure know their bodies more. And you could go through stages. Like a woman might go through a stage where she self-pleasures a lot and then she doesn't really self-pleasure that much and then maybe she brings it back and whatever. But women who self-pleasure regularly know and bring themselves to orgasm that way, they know their bodies, they're more orgasmic, they're more sexual, and they're actually better sex partners because they know what they need to orgasm, and hopefully they can transfer that, or they're more likely to transfer that self-knowledge into the bedroom and to their partners, making for a better sex life. Yeah.
Mm.
I mean, doesn't it make sense that you know what, too, is it keeps the genitals, and it's kind of like working out the genitals. The more orgasms you have, the more you have. So even if you're giving them to yourself, so you're working out, you're giving yourself a genital, by giving yourself this genital massage, then you're keeping those muscles and the clitoris and the vagina, in the G-spot, you're keeping it all healthy and primed and responsive.
I'm sorry, Dr. Natasha, you can't say vagina on the show. You have to say pussy.
Oh, I have to say pussy. So you're keeping the pussy primed. And you're just keeping it, it's just for optimum pussy health. You're keeping the pussy, you're keeping the pretty pussy, the puss.
A little tongue twist in there.
I know, I can't stop saying it. No, but you're just really, you're really doing yourself a favor because you're keeping your pussy in optimum health and conditioning. It's just like you work out. You know, when you work out, you keep your heart pumping and your blood flowing, and when you self pleasure, ladies out there that are listening, when you self pleasure, you're just like a man. You know, when he self pleasures, you're getting a blood flow rush to your genitals. So imagine how good that is for you. And then we have little erections too, believe it or not, in our clitoris, just like you have in your penis. And the blood flows to those areas, which is so healthy for those areas. I mean, they're even saying that the blood flow down there, there's new studies being done wondering if it is good for preventing cancers of those areas. Now, I don't have access to these studies, but that's what researchers are studying that right now. And that's because of the health factors. There's benefits of self-pleasuring and those blood flow rushes to those areas, and just all those feel-good chemicals that swirl around in your body when you have sex and feel good and give yourself an orgasm.
I can tell, Dr. Natasha, why you have a lot of clients and why you're good at what you do. You have so much enthusiasm when you talk about fucking and sucking and licking. I just love it. It's infectious. Now, some people in my chat room. Well, first, before I get to my next question, so I had a request from one of my male members of my chat room. He said, can you please emphatically tell the females listening that they need to suck more cock and play with their pussies more?
Well, there's no question. Ladies, you need to play with your pussies more, a lot more, regularly, daily. It's a gift. Women who, you know, also, it's good for depression. It's a mood enhancer, a mood lifter.
Wait. Pause. You're saying that if a woman's depressed, if she play with a pussy, her mood will improve?
Yes.
Well, you should never tell me that.
It does. And, you know, it's interesting because the number one thing a man will go to a call girl for is a blowjob. It's not even sex. It's a blowjob. Why? Because they wish their partners would do that more. And I'm not saying that, you know, if you're not doing it, if you're not blowing your man, he's going to go to a call girl or go get it somewhere else. But men really, if your guy likes that, if that's one of his favorite things to do, and find a way to like it. And for instance, I have women clients who've come in to me before, and they're like, I like to do it, but I mean, I don't want to do it every day, and he wants me to do it all the time. And so I have to talk to the guy. This is where we talk about realistic sex. So let's be realistic about this, you know, and let's come up with some kind of realistic number, you know. And then not only that, though, it's like, what do we do with the end? What do we do? Do we swallow? Do we spit? Do we? And, you know, most guys like it when a woman swallows, right?
Is that a trick question?
No, but I know some women who are just like, I can't handle that. And if you can't handle it, I have little tricks. Like, again, I have these great tricks in the book. Like, there's this product out there called Nipple Nibblers. And, and it's not really meant to be used this way, but you can kind of try to do this with Altoids, too. Like, you put a bunch of Altoids in your mouth, and then you spit them out, and then you go down on your guy, and then when he ejaculates, you can't taste it as much. And then with this little product, Nipple Nibblers, you put a dab on your tongue, but you have to be real careful because it'll numb out your whole mouth, and if you put too much, you might freak out. So you put this tiny dab on your tongue. And, of course, I figured this out because I was experimenting. And then, you know, as you begin to swallow it, it numbs out your throat and your mouth. And when you swallow it, you can't taste anything. So if it's the taste that bothers you, well, we just solve that. And if it's the texture, there's nothing worse than, like, spitting it out and then running to the bathroom and brushing your teeth and, like, gagging. You know, that's the biggest, like, it can be a huge turnoff for some guys. So it's the way you do things sometimes, because you can easily, you know, take it into your mouth and then you don't have to make a huge spitting noise and then just put it on the sheets or the washcloth next to you in a way that he doesn't even know what happened, you know, whether you swallowed or whether you didn't. But the most experienced lovers will do these kinds of tricks and will do these kinds of things instead of, you know, grossing out to something. They get comfortable. They find ways to get comfortable with pleasing their partners in the way that their partners like to be pleased, let's say.
Okay.
Does that sound good? And then, you know, the reverse too. Like, there's a lot of women out there who are like, you know, he doesn't go down on me as much, or I want him to go down on me more. And you've got to be able to talk about it openly. What are his fears? What doesn't he like about it? What does he like about it? If it's the way you taste or your scent, well, take a shower together and have him go down on you in the shower, or take a bath before you do it, or take a little washcloth and wipe down there and tell him you did that, and then he does it. So the best lovers are comfortable doing these types of things and then talking about these types of things. And couples who have great sex lives are too.
Mm-hmm. Now, can food be a nice erotic accessory?
Oh, my gosh. Well, the great thing about the kitchen is that it's the kitchen and your refrigerator just they hold a lot of sex toys in that one concentrated area. I mean, you could use a spatula for spanking. You could use, if you have olive oil or almond oil or even vegetable oils, you can use those as lubricants. And then they make great lubricants. The sticky stuff, I know people with, and we write a little bit about fetishes in the book, like sticky, fun sticky fetishes. So people who like sticky things, you could pull out the honey or the agave nectar or Hershey's chocolate syrup, and you could dab some on your lover's body and then lick it off. And, I mean, you could just go on and on. You could, you know, that famous scene from 9 1/2 weeks, which is kind of an old movie, but it's a very memorable scene. But you blindfold your partner and have them sit in the kitchen and use nothing but items that you find in the kitchen to tease, spank, or titillate them. And just think of ways you can drive them wild in a good way. And, you know, feed them strawberries. What you're doing is you're appealing to all the senses. You know, heighten all the senses. And by blindfolding, you're heightening all the other senses, except for the sight, of course. So there's so much in the kitchen to do.
Because I remember that infamous scene from, did you ever see 9 1/2 weeks?
Oh, yeah. No, that's such a great scene. You know, now he got weird in the end and made all the sex and everything demeaning. I mean, he made her feel less than. But all that could have been done and had her make it, and he could have made her feel more than. He just didn't, and it was too late because he didn't share enough of himself. You know, and he really wasn't kind. He was cold. So you can take things like that and learn from them, but you can add your warmth to them and your love and your finesse and make and own them. And you know, that's a way of being a great lover, is taking the situations and making them erotic, and then on top of that, making them romantic and loving.
Mm-hmm.
You mean, think about two ice cubes. Say she's blindfolded and you lightly dab the ice cube to her nipple or her clitoris or just even, you know, the back of her knee or the inside of her thigh, or had her lie down and see if the ice cube would just melt off of her belly button. I mean, all this is kind of stuff I write about in a little bit kinky. And then there's also, oh, we have a sex shake in there. Yeah.
Like similar to a chocolate shake or strawberry shake?
Yep, it's a sex shake. And it's, a man drinks it an hour before she gives him a blowjob, and it makes you taste better. And it does work, so it's worth trying if she's complaining about the taste or if she just wants to see if it works. But it's a way of getting her interested in giving you a blowjob. Isn't that cool, though? It's a sex shake. And it said if women drink pineapple juice, fresh pineapple juice, it's when she starts getting heated up during sex, it's supposed to come through her pores and make her smell better and sweeter. And that works. I've tried that one.
I've done that. I've drank pineapple juice right before a woman was about to suck my dick.
Yeah. And what did it did?
And they said a lot of women said they can taste it in my cum.
Yeah, I know. And there's ways of making cum taste better. And they really, really work. Like that sex shake works. It really, really works. As long as a guy hasn't eaten fried foods before it or asparagus.
Okay, somebody in my chat room asks, what are some of the ingredients of this infamous sex shake?
Okay, so let's see. You would use 1 cup of almond milk. And
I've drank almond milk before, okay.
Yeah, almond milk is good. I mean, you can use milk, but I don't really recommend. That used to be in the original recipe, but now with people being lactose intolerant, you know, or if you're lactose intolerant, then I would not use that. You can also use soy milk, but I think almond milk works the best. And then you put 2 tablespoons of agave nectar, and then 1/4 teaspoon of each of the following: cinnamon, ginger, it has to be ground ginger, cinnamon and ground ginger. Oh, wait, and there's one more. I'm forgetting. There's one more thing. Cinnamon, and cloves. It all has to be ground, though. Cinnamon, ground ginger, and cloves. It all has to be ground. 1/4 teaspoon of each of those. So be pretty strong. And then another thing, too, is the drinking lots of mint tea all during the day is excellent for the way you smell and taste, and even, you know, like when you sweat.
You know, what was that again?
It's like mint tea, like a red,
mint,
you know, a lot of
tea.
Yeah, mint, just in plain mint tea. You know, not with milk, not with you know, any sweetener or anything like that. Just plain mint tea. You know, several cups a day. As long as you have a pretty decent diet, and what I mean a decent diet is not a lot. I mean, meat is fine, but just not a lot of meat. And hopefully grass fed, and then and not a lot of fried food, and you know, or if you have just a pretty decent diet, then things like drinking a lot of water can make a difference, and mint tea, several cups of mint tea a day, the shake, which is supposed to be great, in an hour and a half before she gives you a blowjob, and it works really well. Yum 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 yum. Super
oh,
yummy.
Now, would you say that if a couple, okay, say I was in a relationship right now and I wanted my significant other to fuck in a public place and she's a little bit resistant, what would be the best way to persuade her to fuck somewhere public?
Okay, that's easy. And we cover this in the book, too. One of the best ways to step out of yourself, you know, and do something that you might feel a little bit embarrassed by is pretend like you're somebody else, but actually be that other person. Like you can do it in disguise. So if you're going to do it in a public place, and one of my favorite ones is, like, say you're in a hotel room and you open up the curtains and your room happens to be facing all the other rooms. So, you know, and you're either doing it on the floor or the bed, or, you know, there's usually like a table, or you can do it on the table. So that's a very public sex activity. So, but what you do is, if you don't want to be recognized, or if you don't want any to be, if you're afraid of being caught or being you, then you don a wig or some sunglasses or a cap, or you just, you know, I think sunglasses is the easiest fix for that. Is because, you know, the eyes, you know, as long as everybody can see your eyes, then you feel a little bit safer. So that's what I would recommend. And then it just depends how crowded, too. You know, how realistic is that? Is it you know, you want to make sure there's obviously no kids around anywhere. So a mall is probably not the best idea. You know, but if you're in a car park at the top of a hill where other people do it, that's probably pretty safe. But you don't want to be seen. You could go in disguise. Just do it in disguise.
Hmm. Listeners, again, if you want to call in and ask my guest a question, 646-478-5710. 646-478-5710. I'm going to take another intermission break. And then we will be back with more conversation with Dr. Natasha. Don't go anywhere.
Do you want to let loose? Yep. Do you want to vent on the issues all the time? Do you want to express your views? Yes, sir. Then sound off. This is your host, Harold L., okay, inviting you to join me on Blog Talk Radio with the Sound Off Now show. That's what's up. Real life, real issues, real talk, okay, uncensored. Join me on the SON Network Monday and Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern for some of the most controversial issues and forums as we simply sound off. I'm there. Come join us on Sound Off Now, where nothing is off limits. That's what's up. www.blogtalkradio.com/sound-off-now.
In this technology age, while we're on the information highway, we post about getting a better job, we'll tweet to say that you love what you just ate. When's the last time your MySpace someone is having you been molested? Join us on Left Blank for the Great American Speak Out to share your story about child molestation, incest, and or child abuse. Airing Monday, April 26th at 11 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com music to jolliali at jolliali.com.
Mo-1.
I've never really looked at myself as a quote-unquote bad boy, at least not in all regards. I mean, I ain't never robbed no bank, and I ain't never skipped 2 weeks of school. So in terms of just various facets of my behavior, I wouldn't necessarily call myself this. But yeah, when it comes to sex, I've definitely been that guy.
Okay. Because
I will push a woman's boundaries.
You know what? To be honest with you, I think most women are waiting for a man to do that. Most women want a man to do that. Most women that are coming up in the day and age where a woman is supposed to be the good girl has this idea that a man is going to bring that out of her, and she's hoping that he will. Unfortunately, a lot of men, I won't say a lot of men, but some men have no idea what they're doing. And so they're not able to get that out of her. And then everybody's frustrated. She's frustrated, he's frustrated. Nobody knows why it's not working. But women are like, go ahead, like blindfold her and just take her wherever you want to take her. She's waiting for a man to command that. So she can't, you know, in some cases be that free to say, okay, blindfold me and take me wherever you want to take me. And it's because in some way she's afraid of where you might take her. You know, depending on what the relationship is like with him and how much she trusts him. And in other cases, she just doesn't know how to say that herself.
No woman wants a man that can't lay it down in the bedroom. Period. And, you know, women, we go through this, oh, I want to be held and I want to cuddle and I want to talk. Yeah, we want to do all of that. But when it comes down to it, we want to be climbing off the ceiling just like everybody else does.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Now return to my interview with book author and clinical sexologist Dr. Natasha Janina Valdez on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back to the last roughly, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. We've been having a great discussion tonight with a very entertaining, very charismatic, and a very well-credentialed guest by the name of Dr. Natasha Janina Valdez. And she's talking about ways that couples, married couples, or just couples in general, can both create a high degree of erotic spice and, more importantly, maintain it over the long run. Because a lot of couples, they might start off, you know, fucking like rabbits and getting each other excited for maybe the first 6 months, first 12 months, first couple of years. But then 5 years into the relationship, 10 years, 15 years, it kind of, things start getting stale. And Dr. Valdez has been telling my listeners different tips and tricks on how to keep things inside. Now, I got a question for you, Dr. Natasha, that doesn't have to do with couples. This is more of a single person's question. And it's kind of self-serving for me because it's in relation to my book.
Okay.
And I get into these debates with these guys. Okay. to give you a little brief backstory of my book. My book number one is called Mode One, Let the Women Know What You're Really Thinking.
Okay.
And what I basically encourage men to do is approach women, and if, say, their interest is casual sex, to be upfront and straightforward about that, which, of course, relates to the title of my talk radio show, Upfront, Straightforward. Because one of the things I used to see guys do in college and beyond is a lot of guys, when they want to get a woman in bed, they'll pretend like they want a serious relationship. But then once they fuck a woman 3 times, 5 times, 10 times, they just dump her.
Right.
And I believe in, you know, just being more straightforward about that. Now, a lot of guys on
I love that.
You do? Okay.
No, I love that. I mean, it's great.
Ooh, that means you're going to have to say mode one again. Say mode one.
Mode one.
Ooh, that was
No, but
really?
That's...
Alan Roger Curry.
Upfront, straightforward.
Alan Roger Curry.
My listeners love it when my guests say Mo One. Yeah, that was real sexy. But yeah, a lot of guys on different message boards will try to argue and say, no, Alan, you got to be more indirect. You got to keep your intentions hidden and camouflaged and subtle and blah, 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 blah. So I want to ask you as your take on this.
Mm-hmm.
If let's say you were single and a guy approached you that you were, you know, reasonably attracted to, but his interest was not a long-term relationship, and he just wanted to fuck. What would be his most effective way to let you know that?
Well, if I was hot for him and he is hot for me, and I have the same thing in mind, then that direct approach would work. It would work. But if I was like, if I had just had a string of those, then I was like, okay, I'm kind of done for now. Now kind of maybe interested in a serious one, I'd probably laugh and think it's cute, and it's kind of then it would be a maybe. So it's really where you get, what stage you get the woman in. You see what I'm saying? Maybe if she's rebounding, or if she's just experimenting and having a lot of fun. You know, chances are if she's looking for that relationship thing, your chances are more 50-50 when she's just looking for a relationship thing. She might, or you know, she's more likely to say.
Well, so here's my thing. I don't mind if a woman's not on the same page as me. I can accept that. If my interests are ABC and her interests are XYZ, I don't have a problem with that. But where some of these guys try to argue that no, like one guy, he said, well, women know when you approach them that you want to fuck them. You don't have to specifically identify that you want casual. But see, I tend to disagree with that, because a lot of women, if you fuck them the right way, they go, you know, they have the potential to get bonded. And if you're not clarifying things, they do have the potential to think that you might want a relationship. So, again, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, no, and that's a great question, because the minute you start having sex with somebody, our brains produce a bonding chemical. That's why women start to become bonded. They call it the bonding chemical. So it's hard for us sometimes to just have casual sex. Not all women can do it, or some think they can and realize they can't. Men, doing this genetic code thing, and they have found that men don't have that same bonding gene that women have. So it prevents them from, that's why they can be, you know, have more casual sex and have it not mean as much, whereas women, you know, either they want it to go, and not all, there's exceptions, but most women want it to go into a relationship, want it to lead somewhere, or begin to get bonded if they start having sex with the same person, you know, a couple times, 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, their chances are they're gonna bond. But I also find, I think it's great that you say that, because you have that to fall back on. If she does get bonded, you can say, well, I always said, but it doesn't, sometimes it doesn't work, because sometimes you still get hurt, like the person still gets hurt. But remember what I was telling you, like, I don't know, 30 minutes ago about being your true self. At least you're being your true self. Like, you're not showing her a self that's not really you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like you're, like, those other guys are showing the woman some other dude that's not really them.
I agree.
You know what I mean? And so that can lead to problems too. So what you're doing is you're just being upfront and honest, and you're kind of being true. And so I have to go with that. I think that's the better way, because it might, even though it's still going to prevent people from getting hurt, but it's more honest and true. So if she's going to sleep with you, at least she knows what she's getting into, for the most part.
I like that. Okay. Well, see, listeners, men, Mo 1. You heard it from Dr. Natasha. Mo 1 is the way to go. Now, I know some women might be into, and men might be into, the whole being videotaped. Others might be very resistant to that because they don't want it, you know, to end up on the internet. What kind of spice do you think videotaping your episodes adds?
Well, it can be very spicy and very kinky. We have a whole chapter in A Little Bit Kinky called Lights, Camera, Action. And we start off easy with a camera. And so you take romantic pictures of each other, then you take erotic photos of each other. And I'm skimming over a lot of the juicy, super juicy details. But then, you know, they get more and more erotic. And then we move on to filming and making your own DVDs and things like that. But I think the best advice there is always make sure that you trust the partner, you trust the person that you're doing it with, or you destroy the copyright after. Like, you guys maybe watch it and then destroy it. Or say if you're a married couple, that maybe each of you has a copy. and you know, I it has come up before in divorce issues where, where someone would try to use it before, but it's ridiculous. It always gets thrown out, you know, unless it's something really bizarre, and embarrassing. But you just, you know, obviously you wouldn't want that out on the internet. So you've got to keep it under lock and key, and an enormous amount of trust has to be there. And if you ever feel like that you're losing trust, well, maybe it's time to destroy that tape or put it under lock and key. But there's no reason that you can't play that way or that you can't film each other. I ran into a tape that my husband had of his. He was having sex with his ex girlfriend, and we used to watch it. And then all of a sudden, one day I just changed, and I was like, I can't watch that anymore. I just can't see you doing your ex. Like, we got to make our own stuff. But, I mean, not many people could do that. You know what I mean? Not many women could watch that. I could for a while, but then when I started to fall in love with him, I couldn't watch it anymore. And so we destroyed it. And I'm sure she would have appreciated that I was watching it. But you know, just don't ever know where that stuff can end up. So make sure you know.
How many weeks did you watch it?
Oh, we maybe watched it for a couple of months.
Oh,
and then, when I fell in love with him, I was like, okay, I can't watch that anymore. Yeah, you start just looking at it way too closely.
But initially, that your pussy wet, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. You know, initially it did. I have to admit, it did. It worked. He even said that too. He's like, it got you going, didn't it? And I was like, it did. And then it didn't anymore. And so, again, you know, that's actually good communication and good trust. He didn't force it down my throat after that, so to speak. He listened to me, and he did destroy it or delete it or whatever, and we didn't watch it again. So he's very respectful, and you know, we've been together 6 years. I think that's one of the things that keeps us together, is he's very respectful. Respect is big. Gotta have respect.
I agree.
Relationship
in a
sex life.
Yeah, mutual respect is, I think, is matter of fact. See, that brings you back to that movie I saw, Blue Valentine. That, well, I'm not gonna talk about it because one of my chat room listeners said I they want to see it, and they feel like I might be spoiling for them, but...
I know. I want to see it, too. But you know the Ashton Kutcher movie with, what's her name, with, it's the girl who did Black Swan.
Oh, it's coming out tomorrow. No Strings Attached.
Yeah, well, see, isn't that what that's about? It's like where they're just kind of fuck buddies and
agree
to be buddies. And, you know, I mean, I can see where it's going or where it looks like it's going to go, but maybe there's a twist. But yeah, so sometimes you might start off being that way. And you know, here's the danger, too, of sometimes you'll start having sex with somebody and then you'll fall in love with them, or your brain will kind of trick you and think that you're in love with them because of all the sex that you're having. Mm-hmm. And then you might get married and then one day wake up and go, what? We don't even have that much in common. Like, what were they thinking? And it's your brain producing all these sex chemicals that, and you're having all this sex and you get all wrapped up literally in the moment and your brain gets doused with all these chemicals that make you think that you love this person, and I guess it is some type of love, but it's a soulmate, true type of love, something that's going to go on and on and on and on. So really what, for marriages and for, you know, happy coupledom, it's like you're really choosing a partner for a long time. So choose wisely, my friends. And I've been married before and divorced, so I know what it's like, and it's hard, and it's not that easy. But you got to be realistic, you know. That honeymoon phase is going to last for a little while, and then you can recreate elements of that honeymoon phase. But is it ever going to be like that honeymoon phase? No, but you can recreate different types of honeymoon phases throughout and to the end and to the rest in the rest of your relationship. But you have to, chances are you're going to have to plan it. You're going to have to be willing. You're probably going to have to do some attitude restructuring, and you might have to read my book for sure, and be open to trying new things, and listen to your partner. And if they're not willing and you're not going anywhere and not getting anywhere, then go see a sex therapist or a marriage counselor. Just don't let your relationship just hit some type of rock bottom where there's so much damage that you just can't come back from that.
Now, without putting you in a position where you would be, say, revealing too much of a client's situations, but just generally speaking, what would you say of, say, couples that have been dating 5 years or longer? What would you say are the top 2 to 3 most frequently dealt with scenarios that they bring to you that almost makes you say in your mind, oh, okay, this scenario again?
Okay. Well, usually the top issues are they'll come to me because of it, lack of frequency, maybe even lack of desire, and if they have kids, it could be just the stress is leading to that lack of frequency, or there's someone so tired that they're too tired to have sex. You know, being tired can kill a sex drive. So, and if you have one, and for every kid you have, you get more and more tired. So think about, that's something to think about too. You know, if you want to have and I know people who have 4 kids and have a great sex life, but remember, it's not easy for everybody. You know, after you have one, if your sex life is starting to falter and you're starting to lose it, do you keep adding to your, you know, have more and more kids? Like, I know people who add and have more and more kids where their relationship and their sex life was in trouble after the first kid. So why would you do that? That's not responsible. That's not a responsible marriage or relationship. You're not being responsible. So sexually speaking too, and then by then someone's not doing something that they used to do. Like, maybe he's complaining that she used to give me more blowjobs and now she doesn't, or she's complaining he used to go down on me more and now he doesn't. And it's things like they're just not in sync anymore. And these are, you know, the couples that are coming to me. So these are the problems that they'd be coming to me for. There's also, so I think that's the biggest, the lack of frequency. Oh, and by now, too, whether she's faking it, say, I've had couples come to me 5 years into it saying, okay, I'm not having an orgasm, I'm tired of faking, and I don't want to fake anymore, so what do I do? And so the husband gets hurt because she's been faking, and he thought she was having a real one this whole time, and so we have to go through all that, and then we have to teach her, usually starting off with self-pleasuring, and then introducing him into the mix, and then maybe toys, and we get her to the point where she's having an orgasm with him, by herself and with him. So, you know, that can happen. I mean, there's just, gosh, there can be so many issues. You know, maybe someone's cheated, but they don't, they still want to try and be together because they have a kid, or they just want to be together. It's usually because they have a kid. And they want to keep their marriage together. And can a relationship survive after someone's cheated? Sometimes, not always, and it's really difficult. If you cheat, I will tell you, you have a long, hard road ahead of you, and it doesn't always. You can't always recover from it. You or your partner might not recover from it, or your family might not recover from it. So, think about it really carefully before you do.
Hey, you ain't gonna tell me.
It happens. Number one reasons for cheating are because it's usually like low self-esteem, or they're not getting what they need in the relationship. Their partner has stopped seeing them, you know, and expressing like how hot they are. And so the first person that's kind to them and nice and listens to them and sees them as beautiful, boom. I mean, you know what I mean? That's usually how that works. So be kind and loving and listening and hear your partner and be there, really be there. If you can remember what it was like when you first met and really try and revolve around that and as close to that, if you can, then you'll probably last quite a long time in your relationship, or your marriage will probably last a long time, if not forever.
Okay, now two things. One, what are some of your final thoughts as far as, you know, advice and wisdom to couples in their sex life? And then secondly and finally, let my listening audience know where they can find you on the World Wide Web and any maybe special projects or events or anything you might have coming up.
Okay. So, you know what, and this is just going to be some playful advice, but it's true. The couple that plays together stays together. And I mean that across the board. If you're not having fun with your partner, if you're not laughing, if you're not dating, if you're not expressing yourself and creating fun memories, then, I mean, not only does it completely suck, but is there really, what point is there going on with this person? Think about it. So the couple that plays together stays together. Play. Have fun in the bedroom, outside the bedroom. Spend as much time as you can with each other. And fun time. Not always talking about the kids or the money or the, you know, just mundane things. Talk about the sexy things. Talk about the sex that you have. Talk about the sex that you want to have. Make sex wish lists and share them with each other. So sexify your life. Read sex books. Read Bible books. A little bit kinky.
You said sexify your life.
Yes, bring it in. If it's not there, bring it in. You know, go to the store and get a bunch of sex books and make a commitment to having a better sex life in 2011. You can start off with my book, A Little Bit Kinky. So you can get it at like Barnes and Noble and Borders and most bookstores. But if you're like me, I just find it easy to go to Amazon. Just go to Amazon. It's like I said, it's like eight something. And it's a couple hundred pages. It's the easiest and it's the most fun read you'll ever have. And it's a book that you both read. It's for him and for her. And it's a book that you both do. You know, just read it and then just stew on the information. You read it and you do it. And you're going to have the finest orgasms, I guarantee you that, and the finest sex life together if you do everything I say in the book. I guarantee that. Now, projects I have coming up, I do have a TV show that's coming up, but I don't know. I don't have my air date, and I'm actually not supposed to talk about it yet, but when I do, I'll call you and let you know. I'll send you an email.
Okay.
And but it'll be it's a big network, so you know it's you'll, you definitely will see it. And then I have a new book coming out in May. Oh, I can talk about it. I have a new book coming out in May, and it's called Vitamin O, and it's all about the female orgasm: how to have it, how to get it, how to give it, how to have it by yourself, how to have it during sex, which is the hardest way, guys. You know, only they say only 30% of women have orgasms during sex. So what the fuck do all the other 70% have? Isn't that just insane? Only 30% of women have orgasms during sexual intercourse. So I want 100% of women to have orgasms during sexual intercourse or whenever they want or daily. And so that's why I wrote this new book. And anyway, that comes out in May. And thank you so much for having me on. This has been an orgasmic experience. Move on.
Alan Roger Curry.
Your love front, straightforward.
Alan Roger Curry.
Listeners, you just got to give it up one more time for Dr. Natasha Janina Valdez. I have thoroughly enjoyed this, Dr. Natasha, and I wish you nothing but the best in your career. Continued success to you. And if I ever run into any problems,
you call me.
Yeah, I'm gonna call you. And yes, that's right, because you are a knowledgeable woman, and I love your energy and your expertise. And so, yeah, you take care, and again, continued success to you. Listeners, that will do it for our show tonight. Next week, I'm going to have a nationally known psychiatrist named Carol Lieberman. Carol Lieberman, and she's going to be talking about what good girls can learn from bad girls. What good girls can learn from bad girls. That's what's going to be the interview next week. And until then, have a safe and enjoyable weekend. Again, go Bears. Go Chicago Bears. Even President Obama said he thinks the Bears are going to go to the Super Bowl. And I don't know yet if he said he thinks they're going to win the Super Bowl, but at least he said he thinks they're going to go to the Super Bowl. I think they're going to go to the Super Bowl. And yes. Chicago Bears. That's right. No Green Bay. Chicago Bears. Now, but have a safe and enjoyable weekend. I will see you next week. Take care.